Hey there, check out my new limited series podcast brought to you by Hello Hot Flash. And it's called Christian Women and Menopause, Strategies for Midlife Women Who Want to Know What the Bible Says About Menopause Symptoms Like Stress, Lack of Confidence, Anxiety, and Depression. This 21-episode limited series will drop one per day starting Tuesday, April 23rd. Check out Christian Women and Menopause on Apple or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Hey there, I'm Stephanie Shaw. Welcome to the Hello Hot Flash podcast, where midlife women can learn from guest experts and authors who discuss menopause and all that comes with this new chapter in our lives. Hello Hot Flash, where we learn to control the change and not let the change control us. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Hello Hot Flash, where we help you control the midlife change. I am excited to be here today with my guest, Mel Ross. Mel, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Stephanie. I am so excited to be here and thank you for inviting me.
Oh, yes, of course. We had a great conversation a while back, so I knew I wanted to hear more and I knew my guest would be interested in hearing more. So let me formally introduce you and then we'll get the party started. Yeah. So Mel Ross is a leader in modern mindset shift, humanizing transformation, and time, energy, attention, mastery, T-mastery. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. She works with leaders across government and private enterprise, as well as having a specific focus on midlife female leaders. Her mission, T-mastery, is everyone's right. Mel, I'm so excited about this conversation, but let's kick it off by talking about why you're here. How did your journey get you to where you are now?
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you for that kind introduction, Stephanie. I've been a mentor and coach, an executive mentor and coach for many years. I came into that world, I mean, ever since I was a child, I was a natural listener and a natural person that would hold space. Yeah, mm-hmm. Just hold the space for people. So it's always been a part of who I am. And what a privilege for it to become my full-time career pathway now. But in that world of working as a coach and a mentor, naturally, invariably, you get to that point of mindset, you get to that point of curiosity of what's happening in here. So the concept of mindset shift really became big for me, and recognizing as well, because I also have a background in digital and change and transformation. When you see the pace of change of tech, you know, everybody's talking about AI now, you know, you see this change that's happening in the world, you notice globalization and, you know, all of that stuff that's happening, that I recognize that the evolution of who we are, our identity, that's driven by mindset, that is our thoughts, actually happens at a slower pace to the change. So that's where a lot of the rub comes from. That really is how I got into working with leaders and entrepreneurs and business owners to help them to adopt the right mindset in order for them to actually crest the wave and be ahead of the curve when it comes to change and transformation, which is output success, right? And that's kind of really where I'm at. And I don't want to go too far down the track of where we're going to be taking some of the conversation. But obviously, you know, who I am and my age and also a lot of the leaders that I work with, that's also shifted into a kind of purist box, a purist area, a purist perspective of what is modern mindset. And therefore, how does that start to support women in midlife?
Yeah. With your history, there has to have been a period where you're starting to see change in the way people act and the way people respond. What are some common challenges people face today, you know, in this fast-paced world when it comes to managing their time effectively?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Do you know, I think the reflection of 2023, Stephanie, for me, is that the rules of the game changed again. There was a recurring theme for me with all of the people that I worked with. Mm-hmm. And it was time poverty, needing to do so much with so much less, needing to navigate so many different things, needing to navigate complexity. What falls out of that is this, you know, the concept of burnout. People talk about burnout and lots of people talk you know, quite correctly about resilience, and we need to be more resilient. And I agree with that, and I support, and I'm an advocate of that. However, for me in my work, it's if you are able to cultivate the right mindset and control how you respond to time, energy, and attention, then resilience becomes a positive outcome, a positive output, and it doesn't necessarily have to be an input. And of course, alongside time poverty and burnout is this lack of digital confidence. Now, you know, when you add some of the symptoms of menopause and midlife to that, you know, that lack of confidence can, you know, suddenly 10x. And of course, now there's a huge narrative around, you know, the fear of AI. So all of those things that were bubbling up since 2019, I think have actually created almost a perfect storm in 2023. And we can see that when you look at some of the research of, you know, Edelman's trust barometer is showing that polarity and trust is at an all-time low. You know, there's things that are coming out now that are systemic. For me, very much, you know, that time poverty, that burnout, and the confidence piece.
Yeah. How are we going to get over this hump? The points that you just mentioned were so impactful. Like, what role does mindfulness play in your approach to helping leaders? And give us like some real true nuggets. Like, what can we do as we're moving through all of this digital fear and so forth?
Yeah. Mindfulness, meditation. I think all of these practices, amazing and fantastic. And mindfulness is without question a really, really important part of attention management, because where you put your focus, your attention goes, right? Where you focus, your attention goes. So mindfulness allows us to clear out some of the baggage and the fog and the confusion in order to create space for clarity of focus, in order for us to attend to what should be attended to and managed. For me, mindfulness does play a huge part in this modern world. I think where it plays into time, energy, and attention for me is in two areas. I think the first area is kind of method and theory, but the second one is very specific and practical, which is, you know, what you were asking. So for me, mindfulness really in this modern world falls into what I call the five P's. So it becomes P3 of five P's. The first P is profile. It's, do I know who I am? Mm-hmm. You know, do I really know who I am? My strengths, my uniqueness, my mojo. I've got the same skills as that next person, but what is it about me that's unique, right? Yeah. So who am I? What's my why? Who am I? So whenever I talk about profile, I always say, you know, who am I? Mm-hmm. And what's my why is, who am I? W-A-I, who am I? The next one is purpose. It's not the big, massive moonshot kind of North Star so much, Stephanie. I think for me, it's more about being purposeful. If we can constantly connect tasks, our time, our focus onto purposeful things, even if they're tiny and small and of the moment, that brings us back into play, right? Which brings me to the third P, which is where mindfulness comes into play, which is presence.
That's hard for a lot of people, including me some days.
Yeah, exactly. It's being present. And the more present we are, the more presence we cultivate in the eyes of others. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, there's two sides to that coin, right?
Yeah.
And then P4 and P5 are about, you know, being prepared. So it's being future focused. So responding and falling forward rather than reacting and falling backwards, which a lack of the first three will cause. And the final one is positivity. I'm a really big advocate of positive intelligence and the work of Shazad Carmin in America. That sense of presence, if I can come back to the second P, the second point, you know, you said, what do you, give us something real, Mel, give us a takeaway, give us something that we can really do. I work with every single leader bar none on a method that I call the power of one. Small is beautiful. But the key thing is, how can you make it 2 minutes? How can you make it 1 minute? How can you make it 30 seconds? It's about the stop moment. in order for you to recalibrate. Mm-hmm. And it can be with practice as small as 30 seconds, a minute or 2 minutes is my max, you know, that I talk to. And that can be something as simple as, I'm getting confused, the fog's coming in, I can feel it descending upon me. Oh my God, it's in control of me. No, it's not. Stop. Mm-hmm. And one of the techniques that I do is 5 things that I can see, 4 things that I can hear, 3 things that I can feel, 2 things that I can sense, 1 thing that I can touch. And that takes seconds.
Yeah,
it's amazing. And you know what? It sparks the brain back into, I remember who I am. I remember what I'm doing here. Let's get back into it.
Right. Yeah. I love that you said that because my chiropractor and I became really good friends when I was sick because I was there every single week. But she said that her kids taught her to say the word cancel. So when you're out of presence, when you're out of moment, either the brain fog comes or the stress hits you or whatever, the only thing you need to do is say cancel, cancel. And it's so fun. Sometimes it will make me calm down. Sometimes it will make me laugh. Sometimes it will make me most of the time, it just makes me regroup. So it's just like saying a phrase or something and pulling yourself back into the moment so that you can better understand where you truly are instead of like this whole scattered thing going on. I love that. Okay, so I would, when you see my head down, for you guys who aren't actually watching, I'm like writing notes. I'm like, oh, this section is a great quote.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I want to go back to the first P. Do I know who I am? What was the actual P? What was the
profile?
So do I know who I am? How about I know who I am, but I'm not confident enough to step into who I am? What do you say to that woman?
I say to that woman, there's a few things that you want to reconnect in there. The first thing is you probably want to see yourself through the eyes of others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you probably want to see yourself through the eyes of others.
Yes.
Yeah. Because that's the thing, right? With women, you know, it's kind of like should we do that? Are we allowed to be the light shining? Are we allowed to be the attention? Yeah, absolutely. So I often say, you know, choose 5 to 10 people, a mixture of work, a mixture of past and present, a mixture of personal life. And all you need to do is just ask them this simple question. Can you share with me 1, 2, or 3 words or key phrases that describe my strength and my uniqueness?
That's so powerful. I was at my beautician's and we were talking about high school and high school bullies and so forth. And what she said about the way that she thought about me in high school, I'm like, oh, it was so kind. It's been a month now, and it has completely changed my outlook on certain things. I'm like, because I did not see myself as that. So what you just said is super powerful. I'm going to challenge every listener to do that today. Yes, yes. This is amazing. I love it. Yeah.
It's so important. And then the other thing that I think is really important is this, to almost self-audit. You know, to self-audit ourselves. Yeah. And I have an exercise which is called the Wheel of Life. I really encourage people to look at all of the areas on the Wheel of Life that speak to, you know, quality of life and vision, but also, you know, the personal aspects of who I am, my skills, my career. And then also the external things, my parenting. Do you parent up to, you know, your own parents might be aging? Do you parent down to kids, a guardian kids, your community, social friends, career? So there's an internal and external aspect as well as a kind of more broad sort of purposeful aspect to the circle of life. And ask yourself the question, am I able to express myself fully in this particular area? And the second question is, am I achieving my full potential if I dare in this area? And then start to ask yourself why. And it's a really important element. I mean, there's lots of different ways that you can do it, but that kind of self-audit, Stephanie, I think is really important. I do it once a year. You know, I do it once a year and I find it really cathartic. I find it really motivational. It's powerful.
So walk us through that. You know, I don't need to know your deepest, darkest secrets. But you can share if you'd like. What does that look like for you? Do you need to get away to, you know, go on a self-retreat, or can you do it within an hour in your home? What does that process even look like? Because I would find that the people that I know that I'm around have never done anything like that. Because I'm just starting to learn that you need the time to do that. So walk us through what that would look like for someone who may not be used to doing a self-audit.
Yeah. For me, what it looks like is this. There's a preparatory stage. Mm-hmm. You've got to be in the right frame of mind, right? I'm a mindset coach and I'm a modern mindset coach. So, mm-hmm. you know, preparing your mind and being in the right frame of mind is really important. So preparation. And the way that I prepare is that I always give myself this sense of kind of art of the possible. So I kind of expand myself out. So I might watch some movies that or some videos on YouTube or a TED talk that talks to not a dystopian future, but a utopian future, you know, the art of the possible. If everything was to go according to the goodness and the way that we want it to go, what would it look like? So a little bit of that, it just gets you into that frame of mind. Mm-hmm. And also that's important as well, because it can help you as well dream bigger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it's art of the possible. And then in terms of the practice itself, I normally give myself 3 hours. And what I tend to do is I tend to use a digital whiteboard. So I use, and you can use something like Miro or Mural. There's lots of different kind of technologies out there. And there you can just get access to a free version and just a digital whiteboard. But just, you know, going through each element of the circle of life. And I'm, you know, having said this, I'm more than happy to share what the circle of life looks like for your listeners as well. I'm more than happy. And then just asking the key questions and just giving yourself time to be really honest. And I think that's something as well that female, many of your listeners will be in managerial or senior leadership roles, midlife. You know, when you put all of that stuff on top of maybe being a mother, the whole parenting thing, the service, you know, we tend to take servant leadership as women way, 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 way too far, you know, to our detriment. But I think it's really important for us to be honest with ourselves and give ourselves the permission to dream our dream. So many women are living the dreams of other people to live our dream. Yeah.
Yes, I know. Yeah, yeah. Oh, wow. There's like a million thoughts racing in my head right now. I'm like, can we end the interview? Because I'm going to need to go do a self audit. Sorry, Mel. Interview's over. No, I'm just starting to think through all the things that's very powerful, because when you give yourself the time, first of all, giving yourself the time, but then when you're methodically going through it and asking yourself certain questions and then actually seeing who you are, that's self-care. We talk about self-care a lot and how it's selfish, or people assume that it's selfish and so forth, but how do you really grasp the concept and how does it really work for you? That process to me is self-care, and that's going to make us better as we navigate midlife. I like that. Yeah.
Do you know, I have to share something with you, and I'm so gutted that this is a quote that I heard on a video, absolutely amazing. And I can't remember the name of the lady, and I do need to share it with everybody, because in this video she said, "Self-care is not selfish. Self-care is sacred." Like, say that to yourself every single day, right? Yeah. You know, say that to yourself every single day and the permission will come, huh?
It will. And I'm telling you, I'm a better wife, a better mom, everything. And before I was on this, you are selfish bandwagon for years, but it took like my body had to crash. So I had to take care of myself or I would not be here. And then I'm like, oh, wait, this makes you a better person. Yeah, keep doing this. Yeah, it's sacred. I like that. That's a great quote. I'll have to Google it. Maybe we can find it that way.
Yeah. I know. It's fabulous.
Yeah. So there's so much going on right now in this digital age. We've talked about AI a little bit, and you even talked about a whiteboard. And some people make a digital whiteboard. Some people may be like, what is that? So one, there's hormonal changes that are causing us to have brain fog. two, this digital world is causing us to have brain fog. I mean, even young boys and girls are sometimes having brain fog because there's just so much going on. What advice do you have specifically for midlife women who are struggling to maintain focus and productivity during this digital age?
Yeah, two things. Number one, it's too hard, it's not small enough, break it down. Number two, repetition is your best friend. Mm-hmm. Because when we repeat things, you become what you repeatedly do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we can push through that out the other end and thrive instead of survive our way through it. If we really adhere to those two rules, break it down. If it's too hard, it's not small enough, break it down. And then, and you know, you've broken something down to the right place because number one, it feels good to do it.
Yeah.
And number two, you can commit to doing it again and again and again and again and again and again and again. And if you can't say yes to those two things, if you don't feel those two things, if you can't commit to those two things, it is not small enough. I think without question, those two rules, you know, they're boundaries for me. They're non-negotiables.
How do we strike that balance then between productivity and avoiding burnout?
Yeah, that's a really, really good one. I mean, you know, layering on everything that we've already talked about, I think is part of the answer. But I also, I'm going to come circle back to something that, you know, we just talked about there, you know, giving yourself permission to prioritize self-care. And by the way, self-care leads to self-mastery, right?
Mm-hmm.
Self-care leads to self-mastery.
Yeah.
It's really important to recognize that. And we're all after success in some way, shape or form, even if we are not giving ourselves, you know, we're not courageous enough to say it out loud or to say it to others. Deep down inside, we all want to be successful. And that's not a load of money in the bank. That's just being successful in terms of light and joy and love and prosperity and, the, you know, a container of wealth that means that we can feel safe. I'm a huge advocate of emotional intelligence, without question. But I have also, over the last 2 years, really, through my positive psychology work, really become a disciple of positive intelligence. So, you know, the work of Shazad Kameen and also Kim Cameron's work on positive relational energy. So when we're talking about navigating the kind of spectrum between burnout and productivity, one of the most important elements is positivity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't mean positivity as in happy, happy, clappy, clappy. I don't mean positivity dumbing down and hiding the truth, the fear, the emotion you're feeling, you know, brushing it under the carpet and just pretending to be positive. I'm not talking about that. You know, positive psychology is actually the mindset of understanding the present moment as truth and working through it in a way that you have strength to look forward and you don't fall backwards. For me, positive intelligence is really key to that. Because with positive intelligence, we know statistically that if the more positive we are, the more productive we are, the more positive we are, the more self-care we can lean into, the more positive we are, the healthier we are, you know, chemically and hormonally within our bodies. So I think understanding and leaning into some of the key principles of positive intelligence is really important. And the other thing that I will say is on Kim Cameron, positive relational energy is we are all energy. You know, and I'm not about to go woo-woo with everybody on the podcast, but everything starts as energy.
Yes.
And what's important for us to do is to think about the people that we spend most of our time with.
Mm-hmm.
When we are with those people, do they spiral our energy up or do they drain us and spiral our energy down?
Yeah.
And I think that's really important because that's such a contributor to, you know, some of the symptoms that can and should be light becoming actually quite dramatic and falling into something that could end up being burnout. So yeah. I think really taking the time to think about the people that you spend most of your time with and being honest about when I'm with this person, what happens to my energy?
Yeah. I don't think people think enough about that. And I know I didn't for a while. And when I started to think about it, and then I started to remove those people from my life and or set better boundaries with them, it's like, whew, you know what I mean? Like everything started to change. Either I could accept them, a little bit of them, or I didn't have to accept or be around them at all. And I don't think people think about that. And or they think that, especially if it's a family member, oh, you know, they're family, we just accept them as they are. You can, but you also can set some boundaries around what people bring into your space and into your life and into your energy, your circle of energy. So yeah, I think that's important for self-preservation, if for nothing else.
Absolutely. And another thing that's really important to women, you know, midlife, menopause, or what's really important is to keep reminding ourselves to live from the inside out. To keep reminding ourselves that the world and everything outside responds to us. We do not and should not react to the outside world, because that makes us victim. Yeah. And that's living from the outside in. It's really important to keep reminding ourselves that the world responds to who we are. So self-care is living and leading from the inside out. Self-mastery is when living and leading from the inside out has become part of your identity.
Yeah. So you know what? We didn't spill the tea yet. So you weaved it in, but people who don't understand or don't know what we're talking about may not have got that. So spill the tea for us.
I love it. Oh, what I'm going to do is I'm going to brew it.
Okay, brew it.
Yeah. So tea mastery essentially is how we are able to start taking back control and start living from the inside out through managing and controlling time, energy, and attention. T-E-A. So time mastery. And the reason why I talk to time, to tea mastery is, you know, if you go back to the origins of tea, China and Japan, and you see the ceremony behind them, you can see meditation in there. You can see the power of one and tiny little repetitive little actions. You know, you can see calmness in there. You can see all of the things that are the techniques that allow us to develop tea mastery.
Awesome. See there? I knew it all like worked together.
So. I know. You got there. You did it.
So let's look ahead. What trends do you foresee in the realm of time and energy management, specifically for midlife women who are leaders in business?
Yeah. Do you know, I think, very unlike me, I'm going to answer that question with something that is unusual for me, which is, you know, the hype of hybrid and the forced nature of transformation and change around AI and everything around us, I think that's all created a net negative effect. So the first thing that I kind of want to say to everybody is, whatever you're feeling, whatever is your truth right now, that's kind of okay. But everybody has a choice to start from that place of recognition of reality, of fact and truth is really important before then kind of going into what might be the trends. And I think that for me, I think that there's some really, really exciting trends. And, you know, to think about some of the trends that do speak more specifically to menopause and midlife. Mm-hmm. I work a lot in the realm of ancient wisdom. Now, I also work in the realms of neuroscience, as well as working in the realms of technology and emerging technologies. Those are my three tenets. What I think is absolutely beautiful, and I see this as a growing trend in one aspect, is this truth and this credibility that and reconnection that we're getting with, you know, some of the ancient techniques like meditation. I mean, God, 10 years ago, if we were talking about meditation within workforce, you know, strategies, oh, Stephanie, people would throw us out the room, right? You know, but it's like it's research and science are starting to open up and recognize that these things are now, that do have a positive, you know, they are real. They do actually form a very, very important part of our self-care and practice. So I think that the merging of science and ancient wisdom, I think, is going to be a trend that's going to continue, which means that the credibility and the efficacy of some of these practices are going to be easier to access, and also, I hope, you know, more enabled within the workplace as well. So offered within the workplace, if not signposted. So I think that's one thing, that merging of, you know, science, neuroscience and research and ancient wisdom, I think is really important. I think that there is, without question, more and more acceptance of talking about energy, of talking about energetics. And I think that is super, super important to, you know, women in midlife and hormones going through menopause. And that was really big for me because, you know, 4 years ago, I truly hit the wall, but I didn't hit the wall. I didn't have big symptoms of menopause. You know, I was kind of sailing through it and I had tiny little subtle symptoms that in and of themselves were nothing, right? They weren't enough to go to the doctor. They weren't enough to talk about HRT. They weren't enough to be anything to be concerned about. They were just, I normalized them and I carried on going until bang, they all kind of coalesced, right? Ooh. And all of a sudden I hit that wall. But what got me through it was, number one, practicing modern mindset theory on myself, which is where Tea Mastery came. Mm-hmm. And number two is to embrace energetics without apology in my leadership practice. And I started normalizing it in my narrative. I started talking to leaders about it. I started talking to mentees about it. I normalized it for myself and then I started normalizing it for others. And I'm seeing it a lot in literature. I'm seeing it a lot now that people are starting to talk about energetics. I think that's another trend. I think the trend of, you know, we've had a lot of gratitude and be happy. I think we've had a lot of that. And I think, you know, people talk about toxic positivity, which I alluded to earlier on, where, you know, some leaders are forcing us to be so positive that we actually have to hide our truth under the carpet. It's stupid, right? That's called toxic positivity. So I think for me, the emergence of powerful, positive self-mastery, powerful, positive leadership and practices, powerful, positive living, I think is also, you know, a big trend for me. Trust is low, right? Mm. Trust is globally at an all-time low. And it's only a matter of time before that starts to seep into who we are, losing trust in ourselves and our self-esteem and our self-worth. You know, I really do think that tapping into ancient wisdom, knowing that it's got that scientific backup now and continues to do so, embracing the energetics and really, you know, starting to adopt some of the practices of positivity that are the powerful element and not necessarily some of the areas that have got bad press. I think those really are key trends, those three key trends for me.
You have given us some incredible tips and tools for navigating midlife, for navigating the workplace. This is an episode that folks can send to their nieces, to their nephews, to their husbands, to their brothers, because there is so much information that we can all use in the information that you provided. So I so appreciate it. But I have two more questions for you. What are you reading or listening to? That's question number one.
So I am listening to Chris Voss's podcast at the moment. Chris Voss, for your listeners to be aware, if they're not already, is an ex-FBI negotiator. And he has got a beautiful lens on negotiation that is actually really powerful for life. It's wonderful. And the book I'm reading is The Buddha and the Badass by Vishen Lakhiani.
What is it again?
The Buddha and the Badass. It's brilliant. It's fantastic.
Okay. I've not heard of that one before. I'll make sure it goes in the show notes.
please do. It's fab. It's fab. I recommend it.
Awesome. How can folks find you, Mel?
So you can find me on LinkedIn. So I am Mel Ross One on LinkedIn. You can find me on YouTube. And on YouTube, I'm Mel Ross One. Or you can find me on Instagram. And on Instagram, I'm modern.mindset.mental.
Perfect. Thank you so much for being here today.
Stephanie, thank you. And your energy, it's so great to actually, you know, have my energy matched. More often than not, people say, oh, your energy, but it's so lovely to have a reciprocal, energetic human being on the other line.
Well, thank you so much for that. Everyone, thank you for listening to Hello Hot Flash, where we help you control the midnight life change. Mid something change. Where we help you control the midlife change. Make sure to check out the show notes where we include links to all of the subjects that we covered today, and along with the book. And you also, there was a gift that you said, the Will of Life. What is it called again?
I'll send everybody. Yep, absolutely. Okay. I'll send some information on that.
Okay, perfect. And I'll make sure that that's available to everyone as well. Thank you once again, Mel, and have an amazing day.
Oh, thank you, Stephanie, and you too. And thank you all to the listeners as well. So for tuning in, it's brilliant. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Everyone, here's to your health. I am launching a limited series podcast, Christian Women and Menopause, strategies for midlife women who want to know what the Bible says about menopause symptoms like stress, lack of confidence, anxiety, and depression. Christian Women in Menopause is a limited series, so there are only 21 episodes. Episodes will drop one per day starting Tuesday, April 23rd. Check out Christian Women in Menopause on Apple or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Christian Women in Menopause, a limited series brought to you by Hello Hot Flash.